Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Well, recently in the news, I saw a headline relating to a fairly famous televangelist, and he had some predictions that he was making about when Jesus Christ would return to this earth and some catastrophes that he saw coming in the future. And of course, the news source basically made fun of it because this individual has made predictions before fairly publicly, and they have not come to pass. And so people had some good fun with the predictions that this man made. Now, this man was making predictions not based on the Bible or not based on a true understanding of the Bible, but still just the fact that anytime somebody brings up the return of Christ, it can be a joke to people. And oftentimes, again, that's because people make predictions and those predictions fail. Now, many people today feel that as a society, we are too modern, too sophisticated to seriously believe in the return of Christ. A person who believes in the literal return of Christ is often seen as a wild-eyed fanatic of some kind. But yet, when we look in the Bible, what do we find? Well, we find that there are prophecies specifically about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And there are different reasons why people don't often think of the return of Christ in serious terms. And one of those is the theory of evolution that has had a major impact on mainstream churches even. Notice this quote here from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's a free course at thetrumpet.com. And if you don't have it, please sign up for it. It's a great course and it's absolutely free. It says, scholars, even Bible scholars, have come to view the Bible as a great piece of literature with historical value and inspiration, but chock full of discrepancies and contradictions, written by men caught up in the history of their times. And so when people think about evolution and begin to believe in that theory, and it permeates so many areas of society, education, and religion, they begin to doubt the Bible. And as the quote says, well, think of it as the Bible. Think of it as a great piece of literature, maybe, with some historical value. But they don't really believe the Word of God. And another reason people often don't believe in the literal return of Jesus Christ is what I mentioned at the top. People that come along and they give prophecies that don't come to pass. False prophecies. Those have also caused people to doubt God's Word. The course says dates are set for Christ's return repeatedly, but nothing happens. People become cynical. Reflecting the views of many churchgoers, Hank Handgraf, president of the conservative California-based Christian Research Institute, has stated, quote, people who are obsessed with end times have never learned from history. They've been 100% wrong 100% of the time. He said that October 3rd, 2001. And so even people that are religious or profess to be religious oftentimes don't really take God's word seriously, because God's word does prophesy about end time events. It does talk about what leads up to the return of Christ. Christ himself gave signs to look for, indicating his return. And yet because of these two things, the theory of evolution and false prophecies, people have become cynical. They become cynical and said, well, we've heard that before. So, you know, they'll think back, oh, yeah, right. You know, somebody said that Christ would return at such and such a date, and here we are. He didn't return. So people begin to become very cynical, very cynical. But the thing we have to understand, in both cases, whether it's the theory of evolution or false prophecies, the Bible is not being used. The Bible's not being used. Evolution contradicts the Bible. It completely contradicts the Bible. And false prophecies come from mankind's attempt to interpret the Bible themselves, reading their own ideas into God's Word. just because somebody says something will happen, that doesn't mean that it will. It has to come from the Bible. It has to come from God's Word. And we can't attempt to just interpret it ourselves. And oftentimes, that's what people do. God's prophecies are 100% accurate 100% of the time, right? Like the gentleman said there in that earlier quote, yes, people that make their own prophecies, sure, they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. But when it comes to God's prophecies in the Bible, they are 100% accurate 100% of the time. And God has prophesied that people would doubt his word in the last days. God even prophesied of that. He could look down through the ages. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where mankind was going, what direction they were going to go. And he knew that they would doubt him, and they would doubt his word. Notice this in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. We have a few passages today, and if you have a Bible handy, you could get it out, and we could look at these together. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Okay, so we're talking about the last days. Peter talked about that, last days, days right before the return of Christ. He said, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They walk after their own lusts, their own ideas, whether it be evolution, or whether it be a false prophecy, or whether it has nothing to do with the Bible at all. They walk after their own lusts, it says, and saying, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the attitude that you see all around today. If people talk about God's prophecies, well, people will say, oh yeah, we've heard about that before. You've said that before. We've heard that before. And they scoff and they mock. Now, scoffers is rendered mockers in the Moffat translation, so there'd be mockers coming. And notice, of course, what these mockers do. They walk after their own lusts. They do not obey God's word. They do not obey God's word. So, of course, they have no understanding. They might as well say, let me teach you from the depths of my own lusts. What good would that be? What good would it be? Why would we listen to somebody that just gives insight from their own thinking? It's not God's word. It's just their own thinking. It's their own ideas, whether it be something related to the Bible or not. If it's not God's word, if it's just man's ideas, there's no value in it, and they fail. Notice Ezekiel 12, verses 21 through 23. It says, and the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? So when the Bible's talking about Israel here, of course it's talking about the nations that comprise Israel today. Now, the nation called Israel in the Middle East is Judah. That's one of the tribes of Israel. But the nations of Israel, there's other tribes. And the United States, Britain, other Western nations, those are the descendants of Israel. That's who it's talking to. This is prophecy for our time and the nations of Israel today. And if you don't know who those are, again, you can request the United States and Britain in prophecy. And that goes through a lot of detail about the history of the tribes of Israel and where they are today. But God says, okay, so what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel? What is that you say? Where you say the days are prolonged, every vision fails, everything that's prophesied is 100% wrong 100% of the time. Is that what you guys are saying there in Israel? God continues in verse 23, tell them therefore, thus says the Eternal God, I will make this proverb to cease or to stop, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. God has the power to bring his prophecies to pass. That's how he can prophesy 100% accurately 100% of the time. He has the power to make it happen. And God knows full well what people say and think. He knows that people mock his prophecies. They mock it. But as he says, no one will be mocking when these prophecies come to pass. When the effect of every vision occurs, people won't be mocking then. In fact, as we read in 2 Peter, the fact that there are mockers shows how close we are to the fulfillment of God's end time prophecies. It's amazing that God even prophesied that people would mock his prophecies. He's right about that as well. And as people mock his prophecies, they fulfill that prophecy, which is always interesting to think about. Notice this quote from the Correspondence Course. It says, God gave Ezekiel a message to be delivered to Israel, a message about a future captivity. So again, when we read Ezekiel 12 there, as we just did, a person may think, well, that was anciently, right? Isn't that's history? That doesn't have anything to do with us? No, it's actually prophecy for our time today. Notice it says that God gave Ezekiel a message to be delivered to Israel. It says, yet Israel had already gone into its first captivity 120 long years before. Ezekiel's captors would not allow him to go to Israel to deliver that message. God knew, even before he gave him the prophecy, Ezekiel would not be able to go. So imagine that. You get this prophecy from God to take to all of Israel. You write it down, but you can't take it anywhere because you're imprisoned. That would be a little frustrating, wouldn't it? Well, obviously, it was for the future. It was for the future. It says so plainly, God did not expect the message to be delivered then and there, but Ezekiel wrote the message so it would be preserved. And today, that message is in the hands of the people to whom it was sent. So there has to be a group that's going to get this message out, a watchman, and a group that supports that watchman. It says, it is also being proclaimed via television and the printed page at precisely the time when God intended that they receive it. Ezekiel didn't have any power at that time to get the message to all Israel. They were in captivity, and even if he wasn't, I mean, imagine trying to get a message to everybody. That would be hard to do back then. Today it's easier. Why? Well, because there's television. There's the printed word. There's the internet. There's radio podcasts. There's all kinds of ways to get a message out to a large group of people. And that's what God intends, that his message be sent out to all Israel and that they be warned, saying, okay, so what is the thinking there in Israel, that none of my words will come to pass? Well, tell them they're all coming to pass. And now is the time when they will begin to come to pass more and more. But of course, the modern nations of Israel don't want to hear the prophecy God gave to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 12 and verse 20, it says, and the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. People don't want to hear that message, understandably, because nobody wants to see problems. But these problems are coming because of Israel's sins. Now, if Israel repents, then these things wouldn't have to come to pass. God would change things. But they are continually going the wrong direction. You've seen that even this summer, just this past summer, where there was violence in the cities. And if it wasn't somewhat contained or stopped on some level, and it just kept going and going, well, what would the end result be? Well, you'd have cities that are laid waste. Well, we just saw a few blocks laid waste in different cities. But you can see that there is more trouble coming from internal pressure and external pressure as well. You can just look around at the world and see that these prophecies are beginning in a small way to come to pass. And they go very quickly once they really take off. And so people mock prophecy, though. They do mock it because, again, they can look around and say, well, okay, but, you know, if we're looking at Ezekiel 12 and verse 20 specifically here, where it says that the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, they'll say, well, yeah, the cities are still there, though. Today they are, right? But just think about how quickly things can change. Think about how quickly things can change. We saw that again with recent riots in U.S. cities. A city block is all of a sudden burned. It happens in a matter of hours. Things can change quickly. Just think of how quickly the fear of COVID-19 turned major U.S. cities into ghost towns overnight. Have you ever seen anything like that in your lifetime? Have you ever seen major cities with no one moving about? It's not something I'd ever seen. Even in our local community here in Oklahoma City, when that lockdown started, there was nobody on the roads. It was virtually a ghost town. Things can change quickly. That's the point. And so people can say, well, some of these prophecies haven't totally come to pass yet. Well, but look how quickly they do come to pass when God's timing is right. Things can change quickly, so we have to take God's words very seriously and look at, again, some of these warning signs. The correspondence course says, the people say the elapsed time has already been so long that it is obvious the vision will never come to pass. God's answer is that everything will occur as prophesied. Everything will occur as prophesied. Why can we be assured of that? Because God says it. That's why. God's word stands. A person's interpretation of God's word, that doesn't mean much. But God's revelation, the understanding of what his prophecies mean, those are assured to come to pass. It's true. It will happen. It will happen. Now, some people had a certain belief in God's prophecies, but, you know, they don't think it'll come to pass in their lifetime. That's something that people sometimes think. Like, well, they'll say, I think Christ will return, but, you know, I don't know when that'll be. It'll probably be years from now, so I'm just going to go about my business and not think too much about it. But notice this in Ezekiel 12, verses 27 through 28. It says, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days to come, and he prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus says the eternal God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, says the eternal God. That's directly what God says. People can agree with it, they can disagree with it, but it's God's word. That's what he says. And he knows full well that people will say at times, well, I believe it'll happen, but it'll be way, way down the road. Many of God's people have felt that way in recent years in this Laodicean era and have stopped supporting God's work. God warns against that attitude. He warns against it. It's all going to come to pass, everything he prophesied. The correspondence course says, throughout the Bible, we find that God has always given people ample opportunity to repent, to quit sinning, before sending punishment for breaking his law, which defines a way of life that leads to peace, happiness, and abundant well-being. Time after time, God sent his prophets to warn the nations of impending punishments for their disobedience, and yet in nearly every case, the warnings fell on deaf ears. So people can say, well, the prophecies haven't happened yet. Well, that's a good thing. They haven't come to pass yet because God's given people a chance to repent. He's given people a chance to repent. We don't want to think that that time period that God gives people to change and to repent and to heed the warning is a time for complacency and begin to think, well, these things won't come to pass. Yes, they will. But God gives people a chance to repent and to change. And that is something that we have to really understand. Notice this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Right? That's the feeling that some people have. Well, peace and safety, it's you know, things will go on like they've been for years. But then as it says, look, sudden destruction will come. The course says, feeling incapable of determining the truth in what they read, see, and hear. Most people have developed a skeptical, cynical attitude toward taking any warning seriously, even from God himself. This attitude is one of the curses of our modern age. It's something we have to be very careful of, all of us, that we don't become cynical. The world is a very cynical place today, and especially with people when looking at the media, and there's so many lies that are told constantly. It's hard to believe anything, isn't it? What can we believe? What can we have faith in? What can we know is always, always 100% true 100% of the time? God's word. Not some interpretation of God's word, but what God's word actually says and what God reveals through his apostles and prophets. That's what we can have faith in. Everything else, again, it falls short. It falls short. We don't want to be cynical, though, when it comes to the word of God and believing it. We don't want to be in this attitude of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 saying, oh, peace and safety, nothing ever changes. And then all of a sudden, destruction comes. We've seen that again, even recently, just with this COVID-19 scare. You know, people were going along pretty well, and then some people lost jobs. Jobs are just gone overnight. Why? Well, because sudden destruction, even though it was a lot of it was man-made. And panic ensued. How quickly things can change. We don't want to be cynical. We want to be believing the word of God, and that requires studying it and understanding it and getting into it. That's why you need the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. You need the truth of God's word, and that course will take you through it step by step. It's important that we understand what God's word says and know that God's prophecies are 100% right 100% of the time. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.